The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making your home great on WPTF, welcome to the show, or I guess I'm being welcomed to the broadcast airwaves. We're on 11 o'clock every single Saturday, and why do we have content? Who do we blame for the content? Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, Mike Slaman, a part of our staff, but he's the arranger. He figures out everybody's going to be on what week. And only Mike has the master schedule. And there are exciting things coming up. What's up next week?
There are some exciting things coming up. Of course, today we got Holly Bowers from Roofworks and our own Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier looking for a great show. So that's coming up in minutes. I just want to let people know a couple things going on. With PTF in general, we're going to be at High Park Bar and Grill. So we invite you out there before Carolina kicks off with Charlotte later on at 7 o'clock tonight on WPTF and WPTF.com. So that's one thing to check out. But next week, boy, do we have a show. We're going to have the longest Making Your Home Great show ever.
Really?
We've got 2 hours and a half to fill.
Two and a half?
And
say fill.
We're going to have representatives from Duracell on. Richard Nordheim from Advanced Restorations is going to be on. We're going to have Brock Emmons, of course. We're going to have our own Rhonda Benby Plummer.
Yeah.
And we're going to be at Atlantic Spas and Billiard.
That's a great idea.
So we're happy to have, all those folks. It's going to be a great show. So we invite people to come on out. You know, maybe even we'll broadcast live from a hot tub. Well, that'd be exciting.
Okay, I've been there. They don't have water in the hot tubs in the store, I don't think. Do they?
It'd be a great photo op, though. You know.
Yes, I could just pretend that there's water.
In the hot tub, doing Making Your Home Great, you know. Sipping adult beverages, I don't know.
So what's in the future? We're going back to Lillington, right?
We'll be back in Lillington in October.
Oh, yeah, good.
But coming up later on in September, we're going to be inviting Sue Clement from Duke Energy back.
Yes, that's great.
We are also inviting a representative from Maynard Services here in the Triangle.
Okay.
A big HVAC plumbing company.
Good.
And they are one of the Duke allies.
That's good.
So they're going to be talking about some great rebates available from Duke Energy. And we've been talking about that with Brock for several shows now.
It could be
a great value to lots of folks. So I'm going to leave it up to you. I think we got Holly ready to go.
Yes, she is.
Thank you, Holly. Folks, for tuning in.
Hi.
All right. Bye, Mike. All right. That's so cool. That's so cool that we've got so many things. I don't like to talk about the show on the show because it's mostly about the people who come in.
I know, Holly, but it's good to give them updates on the future.
Right. Because we're mobile. Holly, we're a hit, and you're part of it. You really are. In fact, for the first time only, we have a call before you arrive. Before you were in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, Jim from Frog Hop. Jim, how are you?
Greetings, everybody, from Frog Hop on a Saturday morning. Yes. I hope everybody's doing okay.
It is such a surprise to have you on the show. Really.
I know it. You know, it's like, boo, you know, here I am. And the frogs ribbit in unison when they hear Holly. They were worried that they didn't hear her voice.
You better have questions.
And for some reason, when they hear Dave, Holly, they sort of hiss and stick their tongues out. And I can't figure that out.
I've been known to send frogs into the mud. They just bury their heads in the mud. All right, sir, what's your question?
Oh, I've got three questions, if that's okay. By the way, Holly, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy week and spending an hour with us every other week. And, you know, being a mother of a child and everything, thanks for taking time out of your busy weekend and everything. We all deeply appreciate it out here in Frog Hop, and the frogs and me wanted to let you know in the neighbors.
All right, Jim.
So, okay, this Contact. Is a three-pronged one, okay? One, AI in the office, do you foresee any of that? And I hope you don't, because the reason I state that is that my cable company, Spectrum, they have AI in the office, and it's really better to me talking to a human being. I just think AI stands for artificial idiots, and I don't know why I think like that. And then my second question is that Jim Causey was on Dave's boss's show week before last, Carolina Newsbankers,
yeah.
And they had mentioned that, you know, I know that you need flood insurance if you're in a flood zone. Does, and you might not know this because I know you all aren't in house insurance, but do you have to have roof insurance for that? And the third question that I've got, this is computerized, and do you foresee anything or have anything happen in the past, Holly, with maybe having computer chips in the roof anywhere that would give an early indication that there might be problems? You know, something can be sent to your computer or your phone, and or just to let you know, because I know me personally, I'd rather be proactive than be reactive, and that's my three questions. And Holly, thanks again for coming. We sure enjoy it out here. You have such a sweet voice and everything, and we hope that you have a great weekend, and thanks for everything that you do to help us out here in Frog Hop with our roofs and everything.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim, signing off. Y'all have a great day and a great week. Bye, Your Majesty. You have a great weekend in the castle.
Thank you, sir.
I think I remember at least the first question. The first question was AI answering the phones. What do you think?
No. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to pivot to that, because it's aggravating when you're calling anything and you're like, what, you know, it's redirecting you through 10 different questions before you ever get someone on the phone. So we're not going to go that route.
Okay.
I think it's important to have that special human touch. I mean, we talk about, we're not a roofing company, we're a service company.
Right.
And we can't service you if we don't have real people answering the phone there helping you every day.
I have a pharmacy we call every now and then for my stuff. And you can't get a pharmacist without talking to the, and then they go through this whole spiel, even though they're going to connect you to a pharmacist next.
It takes 10 minutes.
It takes 10 minutes. They've got it. They even tell you when they're going to take a break. The pharmacy is closed between 10:30 and 11 every day for a meal break. I don't care. It's not 10:30 to 11. Answer the phone.
Yeah, and we have, you know, even answering service 24 hours. So even if we're not at the office, we've got people answering that phone that can service you.
And if it's
all day, every day.
It's a big enough problem. They're going to transfer. You're going to get to somebody who can physically help you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. But I mean, AI's got things, good things, bad things. We talked about it last show, but that human touch, human interaction, yep. I mean, you really don't want that to go away, because that's everything.
All right, we're going to deal with Tim's other questions, which I don't recall, but we'll think about them during the break. We're here with Holly Bowers on Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
And we're talking about computers and AI with Holly Bowers from RoofWorks, because Jim from Frog Hop jumped in with this question. Is there anything artificial intelligence can do for the roofing business?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's things that are going to help make life easier.
Yeah.
I do think that. But like I said, there's a lot of pros and cons to it. I think it's so new. We don't really know what's coming through the pipeline, but I think if you're relying on a computer to give you all the answers to everything, then you're going to massively affect your critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
Because if your computer is doing everything for you, then as a human, you're sitting here trying to think through these problems and solutions, you're just gonna, it's gonna mess with your memory.
And we already don't have to ever not know the answer.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's so easy to find things at your fingertips, but it's kind of taking away the human element of it too.
Right. I've got a friend who's a Google fanatic. He never doesn't know. But the truth is, AI online, for instance, only knows what other people have said, theoretically. Maybe now it'll know what other AI has said. Eventually, you're not going to be able to find truth.
Yeah,
ever.
I don't know. And that's the other thing, too, is like the power that it takes to power up these big data centers and computer systems. That's taking up power from the grid, too, which is probably why a lot of our electric bills are going up. And it takes a lot of water to power all these systems. So it's going to be interesting to see water shortages versus supply and, you know, what's going to happen with the future of that, too.
All right. Let's just talk about roofing. Regular roofing, because I was going to follow up with a question about robots putting up roofing, but I can see where you're going.
Yeah, and they do have those, actually.
Really?
I've seen them. They've come out with that for sure.
Oh, my gosh. So when a leak occurs, let's put it this way. Suppose you're at the end of the lifetime of your roof, and RoofWorks does the roof, just the whole thing. How often is it that you find that there have been leaks for a long time? In other words, discolored wood for the roof deck.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, gosh, it's hard to tell because it's a case-by-case scenario.
Yeah.
So every situation is very unique and different. So I think if you start, the biggest thing with shingles, if you start seeing a lot of granular loss and, you know, all that asphalt is coming down your gutter system, that's the first indicator that those shingles are going bad.
Right.
Along with leaks, I mean, leaks are, they're going to start popping up. You're going to start seeing shingles that sliding off, you know, you're having a lot of issues. So at that time, you definitely want to get somebody out there to take a look at it and figure out, is it time now or can we get you two more years?
And I don't want to talk in this segment of warranties and guarantees. We will talk about that. Warranties, guarantees, and insurance, which I'm not sure is the most fascinating topic. But I do want to know how long a quality roof should last. Forget about the guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of it depends on, one, the installation, two, the product that you put on the roof, and also the exposure that you have with the sun and all the elements in your ventilation system is key to that, too.
If all the elements are positive, can I expect to get 25 years out of a roof?
Yeah, you should with your basic architectural shingle, yes. As long as you maintain it and keep up with it and, you know, keep everything inspected annually, yes, you should.
And you mentioned attic insulation or attic ventilation.
Yes, that's critical because without proper ventilation, it actually breaks the shingles down because you have all that heat stored in the attic, which in turn is reflecting into those, you know, shingles, which it's going to break that asphalt down.
Well, that's where the heat comes from.
That's right. So you got to get that
down,
heat
then it comes back up
in and out of the house. Because if not, it's going to be detrimental.
I could probably fry an egg. Not that I could because it's too far off the ground. I can probably fry an egg on my roof.
In this time of year.
In the heat of summer. Okay. Well, I mean, how hot does it get?
It's piping hot.
Piping hot, okay.
Piping hot. You think about the guys being up there. I mean, it's hard work as it is, but when you're up there in the summer months, it's really, really hot.
Okay. All right. The RoofWorks has been around for a while. Where are we now? 19?
Yeah, we're coming up on 20 years in April of next year. So that's a big milestone to celebrate. Yeah. I'm very, very excited about that.
Now, when you started, were you a roofing company or did you just offer fax services and notary public? did you do, you know, drywall repair, painting?
No, I mean, Will and Derwin started the company in 2006. So their biggest focus was customer service and just repairs, replacements. They started out very small. Those guys are, they're great guys. I always talk about them. They did it right.
Yeah.
Solid gold people, and they just came in with the right strategy and got us to where we are today.
Are the owners still up on the roof?
They do get up there sometimes, yeah. I mean, that's the great thing about it is they're involved with us every day. It's very rare that you're seeing companies where you get to work beside the owner on a day-to-day basis.
That's
what
good.
Makes it really special.
That's good. And there are, I don't want to say gradients of truth, but there's a little bit of gray area, especially as it approaches insurance work. Because some adjusters say, no, there's no damage.
Yeah, we run into that all the time. I mean, we talked about how chaotic and unstable the whole process is. I mean, you've got roofs that should have never been approved that get approved, and then you got other situations where they're pushing back and it's legitimate damage that they're not going to approve at all. So it's still just very unstable. There's not consistency across the board, and they really need to work on that.
And people are still, even to this day, building roofs that are improperly built.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen in every trade, though. Everybody's going to, you know, come in, make mistakes, do things wrong. It's just what I think matters most is how you rectify that situation. Are you going to stand behind it? Are you going to come back out and make it right? Or are you going to run from it and leave that homeowner or business owner stuck to where they have to pay somebody else to come take care of your mess?
Right. Now, I have a ridge vent on my house. I don't have any other ventilation. Is there anything more you need to know to tell me whether I should have more ventilation?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely got to have ventilation on the eaves.
Okay.
So if you only have it at the ridge, it's not working effectively. You need to have ventilation along the eaves, which would be soffit vents.
Yes.
Or some type of edge vent that's running across the eave on the roof portion if your eaves aren't big enough to install soffit vents.
If you are sitting on your porch and you look up and it looks like sort of like a large cheese grater left to right with holes in it, right?
Yeah,
metal with holes in it. That's my vent.
Yeah, that usually runs across the ridge line, but there's many types of different ventilation. I mean, you're going to see gable vents, which is kind of the old school way where the gable vents are on both rake lines at the very top, where you've got vents up there on the sides of the house.
Right.
That's sufficient too, as long as you have eave ventilation. It's key, you just have to have both.
Okay. We are making your home great. This is the radio show with Brock Emmons coming up on the show. Holly Bowers is here from RoofWorks. And we're going to stay here for 2 hours, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF. Some exciting things coming down the pike, including some remote broadcasts where you can meet us. This is WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
With Holly Bowers from RoofWorks, you're just telling me something you read on the TV website about somebody who was scamming people pretending to be from what company?
Yeah, that popped up on WREL Thursday night. It was this contractor that was, he was personating being a Duke Energy employee. And what he was doing was going out there and doing a bunch of work to people's houses and scamming them and taking money from them. So
if you think about it, Duke Energy is solely focused on bringing you energy. They are not there to do, he was charging for doing like driveways.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. And it looks like what he was targeting elderly people, which is the worst thing that you could ever do. But they got him, which I was glad to see that article come through because this is what we talk about all the time.
Yeah, there are scammers and it's become easier, I think.
Yeah.
We're a graying population. And more of us, myself included, will become, you know, my dad. I'll just be honest. I just am not. Anybody knocks on the door, I'm sorry. No. You just can't. You can't sell me anything.
Yeah, you just can't, even you if can't you trust just
even
anything.
If you've got a truck full of gold bars, a dollar a piece, I'm not going for that.
I know, and that's. I know you got Duke coming on here in a couple weeks, but yes. It's that would be some good stuff to talk to Sue about too. Yeah. Is just the things to proactively warn people about when it comes to things like that. So that's. I'm sure it happens a lot.
Right. Well, let's talk about warranties, guarantees, and insurance. Let's start with insurance. What kind of insurance does RoofWorks need to have in order to get up on my roof and just examine it?
Yeah, there's specific insurance for roofers. It's very expensive. So you just need to make sure that you pull COIs, ask whatever company that you're signed up with to furnish you a copy of that, and call that insurance company. Ask specific questions, because just because they have a policy doesn't mean that they're actually insured for roofing. If they're not insured for roofing and something were to happen and somebody falls off your roof, gets hurt, then the homeowner could be liable for any type of legal issues, claims that come back. So that's very, very important. It's the third dangerous job in the world. So to not ask the right questions, you'd be crazy.
And you can't just ask for the certificate of insurance. You must then follow up with the insurance company to make sure it's current.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, we talk about AI. It's very, very easy to go in and modify those insurance forms, change dates. It's very easy to do that. So just because they're giving you that piece of paper does not mean anything. Pick up the phone. The insurance provider's name is on that certificate.
Right.
Call that office. Trust and verify always.
Is it generally one piece of paper or two types, two insurances, two pieces of paper?
I mean, it really depends. If you get coverage from, because you have general liability, you've got automobile, you've got workers' comp, umbrellas. There's all sorts of different policies that you need dependent upon what your customers are going to ask for. But yes, they could have two different insurances that they work with, or three, but you just need to make sure that you get all of them.
And just to reassure people, because we think of, you know, somebody going up on a roof and falling off. Not only do you have that all those insurances, but you also provide your guys with the right footwear for a roof and any other safety equipment they think they need.
Yeah, I mean, it's their safety, their lives mean everything to us. That's, right. I mean, at the end of the day, this is way, way bigger than making money.
Right.
We want to make sure our guys get home to their families every night, and that's what matters the most.
And your people have been with you. They're experts at this.
Yeah, we've got a great company. We've got so much tenure, so many great people that have been with us for a long time. It's pretty incredible, and we've all been a part of this growth, which we're excited about because there's even more coming in the future too.
That's good. You do a variety of things, every type of roofing I could think of.
Of course
I can't think of many, but I mean slate, regular shingles, metal roofs,
tile, cedar, low slope coatings. I mean, you asked the question a little, I guess, last session that we just had about Will and Derwin. That's the great thing about them is they stuck to what we're good at.
Yeah.
We're not trying to go out there and be a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to replace your windows, replace doors. We're doing what we know we're good at, and we're sticking with it. So that's how we've crafted this, and how, you know, you've got the master skill guys out there is because every day they're doing the same thing over and over again, which is... It really, that comes from time.
Right.
Just time and experience in the industry.
And the one field that you branched out into is really a roof field anyway, which is the skylights. I'm sure I'm saying the wrong one.
Yeah, that is natural lighting. And it's really important that you have a roofer doing that work because you're cutting into the roof. I mean, any time you're opening up a penetration and causing a big hole in a roof, you need to make sure it's watertight. So it just makes sense to have a roofing company put those in or replace them, because it's really the flashing work and how everything is sealed up that matters the most.
And when Brock figures he needs, he does the work and the math and says, no, we need some solar fans It's Roofwork that does it.
Oh, yeah. And he, I mean, we have a great relationship with Brock. So, yeah. And the great thing with him is he sticks to what he's good at. And when it comes to that roofing work, he gives it to us because he knows he doesn't have the right insurance. And he's making sure that his guys are safe, too. And that's what it's about.
That's good.
Because could he do it? Yeah, he could absolutely do it. But why would he when he's putting his guys in danger and that's not their expertise?
Well, and they're not going to do it every week.
Right.
So why carry the insurance that's going to cost him a large amount of and, of course, the hassle of crawling up on the roof.
Exactly. And he's putting himself at risk and a big liability, too, with something going wrong.
So the roof ventilation, you guys suggest solar. Brock would be here. He would explain why solar, not electric.
Yeah, if you do have to put a fan in, the solar fans are better because they're just going to last longer. It's a longer lifespan. The old electric style fans, they tend to burn out 5 to 7 years, so you're just not going to get the life out of it that you're paying for. So it's worth you spending a little bit more money and getting the solar fans put on because they come with 20-year-plus lifetime warranties.
Do they have batteries on it to keep it going after dusk?
It should be a solar panel that's actually on that fan. So
yes,
that's what powers it. So every day when the sun's shining on it, that's what powers it and keeps it going.
Well, that's good. All right. We'll
No electrical wiring.
That's great.
Yeah.
I hate paying an electrician. I don't, that's number one, a dangerous job, right?
That's right.
You're cutting into the electronics of your house. Anytime that's happened, I'm like, all you got to worry about that box up in my attic. But you don't with solar. Because it's what, 12 volt, 24 volt?
Yeah, there's different types that you need. And really, the size is going to depend on how much ventilation that you need based on your square footage.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we didn't talk about warranties.
I know. Well, we do have to. We got Jim's questions about the flood versus roofing insurance.
Yeah.
So, obviously that's not my expertise, but I would assume that with homeowners insurance, that should cover roof systems and the whole envelope of a house. Flood insurance is a totally different thing. So, as we talked about on the commercial, even, the people up in the mountains, they had no way of knowing that they would have needed flood insurance for what happened up there. That was devastational. So those are things that, just in question, call your insurance company. Just make sure that you are covered, you have the right protection, because at the end of the day, none of us ever know what's going to happen, and it's that one time that you might not be covered that you really, really did need that.
If I have homeowner's insurance, it covers the roof.
Yeah,
typically.
It should cover the roof. But again, that's definitely a question for insurance agents because that's not my expertise.
That's fine. Now, how about warranty? You put a roof on, and in order to warranty that roof, say through CertainTeed, you have to make sure that everything is installed the right way, their right way.
That's right, because every manufacturer for all of those enhanced warranties requires specific installation methods, products, so on and so forth. So in order to qualify for those warranties, you need to make sure that you're sticking to their book, their rules, and keeping everything intact and installed the way that they want that, because if they're picking up a warranty, obviously it's going to be the way they want that to be. And there's a reason for it, because they know what works and what doesn't work. So just make sure that you follow those standards.
If I don't have the right drip edge or, let's test my vocabulary on roofing, underlayment, and if I don't have the right attic ventilation.
Yeah, ventilation is definitely a big deal. It all is. It depends on what kind of warranty you're getting. If you're getting basic warranties that aren't enhanced, there's different requirements for that. So just make sure that you're asking the right questions of what you're signing up for, what these warranties are going to include, and what the manufacturer is going to make sure that is mandatory for that warranty to stand strong.
Yeah, there's always that possibility.
But then
15 years down the road, you show that piece of paper to somebody and they say, yeah, that doesn't really work in this case.
Yeah, and a lot of them don't pick up workmanship, which means the workmanship needs to be picked up by the contractor that installed it.
Yeah.
So you need to ask those questions too, because it's a two-part. You got material warranties and you got workmanship warranty. They're two totally different things.
Right. And in order to get that warranty on the actual shingle, I've got to have a lot of things correct.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because proper installation will avoid most any warranty. Because so obviously they're not going to cover somebody else's bad installation.
If I hear from an installer, oh yeah, we always use this. This is the underlayment we choose because we like it. That's probably the wrong thing. I mean, if he's putting up your choice of tile or shingle, I want the type of underlayment that goes with that company.
Yeah, that goes with it. I mean, it's always good to keep the same products together and not switch manufacturers.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Holly Bowers of Roofworks. We're on Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons from Triangle Radiant Barrier will come in a little bit. We are on FM 92.9 AM 680, News Talk Traffic, and Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
I want to hear the Duracell commercial again. I've almost memorized the jingle. 855 Duracell. I like that. Holly Bowers is here from Roofworks. You guys don't have a jingle, do you?
We do, actually.
You do?
Yeah, Slayman's got it, so he needs to make sure he always throws that in.
Terrific.
Somebody very special that did that for us.
Anybody who doesn't have a jingle, just all I want for you to remember is 877-654, right? Is it some guy with the annuities? You know, and the opera singer comes on and sings. It's so memorable. I can't remember it because I'm a doofus. But the whole point is it's good to have, you know, a jingle for your company. You're serious about your company, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's serious enough for me to be in here every other weekend doing this because I love those guys. I love our whole team. It's so much bigger than just a roofing company.
But that's all you do. But it's a service company.
Yeah, and it's just our culture, our people, I do this every day because my biggest thing is making sure they got a paycheck on Fridays.
Yeah.
So they can take care of their families. That's what my driving force is.
That's good. All right. So Jim from Frog Hop called in and we dealt with two of his questions because they were very highly technical. At least they were related to technology. And we left the other one till now. The idea that someday there will be a chip underneath your shingle which will notify you when you've got a leak.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I'm sure they'll come up with something. I'm sure they will. I mean, I would say from the roofing industry, they're probably not quite there yet, but they do have different tools and things that you can use. But maybe solar panels do have that chip. And then I definitely know in the HVAC industry that they're incorporating all that now. So you're going to see it come through in the trades. But that's great. Like you talked about having that panel at your house.
I want a universal panel.
Yeah, that literally just
everything.
Tells you everything that needs to be done. What your temperature is, right. If you've got moisture, you know, if the attic's too hot, that would be phenomenal to have that.
I want it voice activated. Computer, what's the relative humidity in my crawl space? I want to know that.
Well, think about how efficient your HVAC system would work.
Sure.
They just talk to each other constantly. Air's being dictated based on that, and you don't have to go in there and pop it up two degrees or pop down 2 degrees. It's automatically setting itself.
The science fiction, of course, of it is, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't help you. You know, and you're screaming, let me out of the house.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I know. Well, they do have that even for thermostats and things. So there's been a lot of good improvements coming with that. But yeah, the whole house panel, that would be pretty cool.
We don't yet have a chip underneath the shingles. How generally do we know when we have a leak? Is that when it comes through the attic or it comes through the living room?
Yeah, most people, I mean, if you're not checking your attic, then most people don't even realize until there's a stain on the sheetrock, and then at that point, it's already been leaking for a while.
All right. How many phone calls is that going to take to get it remediated?
Depending on what the problem is, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, if it's a big leak, it's going to take probably 2 trips just to get out there and do the assessment and get the estimate together. We'll definitely get it dried in for you. But if it's something minor, we can certainly come out and take care of that right away.
I guess my point was, do you have people who would then complete the job? I mean, my ceiling is all stained up.
Yeah, we have interior contractors that do, you know, sheetrock, paint, things like that too.
So one phone call to RoofWorks.
That's right.
That's good. Yeah, because some people do imagine that, oh my gosh, I call a roofing company, then I got to call the other people, and I got to get somebody to paint it.
Yeah, we have some great contractors that we work with. But the biggest thing is just if you have a roof leak, obviously you want to get it rectified first. Make sure that the water stops, the issue is taken care of. Give it a couple good rainstorms and just to confirm that there's no more problems before you go painting the inside. Because the last thing you want to do is get the inside taken care of, but then the roof leak is still not taken care of and you've got to redo it again.
All right, things that you shouldn't ever do. Let people up on your roof if they knocked on your door.
Yeah, I mean, just be very wary of that. That goes back to the insurance thing that we just talked about and the Duke scam. I mean, you just don't know who anybody is. So don't let random strangers come in your house or get on your house because you don't know what their intentions are. Do some homework. Just be smart about that.
I wouldn't buy roofing from a book. From a pamphlet. I want to see it. Where can I see it? Where can I see the actual shingles?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have a great showroom. You can come to our office at 5413 Hillsborough Street. We've got every type of roof system product that you could possibly think of and do a ton of research, see all the different colors, the styles. Just get thoroughly educated. That was the point to have that.
And though my brother did this, and I care about my brother a lot, and I think he's a smart guy mostly.
He's never going to live this down.
It's a good thing he doesn't live in the area. And he doesn't care to listen online. Do not put a roof over a roof. Right?
I mean, no, you shouldn't. It's not good practice. Because obviously, when he has an issue, if he's got an issue on that first bottom roof system, he's got to take the top one off and then get to the bottom one. And then it's just a lot of extra work for no reason.
If he has a leak, yes, he's got to remove. Well, in his case, he put a metal roof on. So, and he's got open, what is it called? Open fasteners. You can see the fasteners.
Okay.
Okay. If that goes bad, he's really going to have to take off both roofs.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, well, the fasteners just need to be maintained, sealed up so that they don't rust out and cause leaks. But like I said, you don't know what's going to happen with him. But we wouldn't do it knowing that, you know, we're trying to get the customers the best possible roof system that we can. The big thing we want to do is get that first existing system torn off so that we can inspect all that plywood.
Yes.
Because if any plywood needs to be replaced, we're going to go ahead and take care of it.
And the website is?
RoofWERKS.com.
Thank you, Holly. Appreciate you coming by. This is Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons is coming up on this program, FM 92.9, AM 680 WPTF.
The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF every single Saturday at 11 o'clock. Next week, Brock, we are going to be at Atlantic Spas and Billiards.
That's right.
The hot tubs. And pool cues. And pool tables.
And pool tables.
I walked through there, and you know there's outdoor pool tables?
Is it really?
Yeah. There's a. I don't know what they make it out of.
It's got to be some sort of waterproof felt on the top.
I would assume, yeah. And I'm also going to assume that we're going to cover it up after use, but still.
That would be a pretty cool feature if you had an outdoor pool table at your house. I think you could show that off.
Yes, that would be all right.
At least I would.
So you're going to play pool during the broadcast.
My plan is each break I will step away and play a game of pool.
That's good.
And hopefully we'll finish by the time we come back out of break.
Very good. We're going to back to Lillington. We've got a bunch of other things.
Yeah, a lot of places this month on site.
Believe it or not, they really want us there, which is, you know, amazing.
That's exciting.
There were decades when nobody wanted me to go out on a remote. They just said, nah, stay home. That's all right. But it's going to be fun. And I'm going to try to talk them into letting me into one of the spas.
One of the hot tubs. Now, yeah, what bathing suit do we decide on? Are we going Speedo or?
No.
1930s
I could wear a Speedo,
one piece.
I could wear a Speedo, but people would be unsure whether I had one on.
Who let this guy in?
Is he wearing? Oh my gosh, he's naked. We've got our very own tailgate program coming up after this show. It's basically we're coming back and forth to our regular programming, and we've got John Champion at High Park Bar and Grill. So we're in the studio, and he's at High Park Bar and Grill.
Well, John always gets the good assignments
for a long period of time
because he's a really nice guy. I don't know anyone who doesn't like John. So John gets good assignments.
We like John. All right, so let's talk about your company.
All right.
How are things going?
It's just like last year and the year before.
Yeah.
The market here is different from the states that I've worked in the past. Most of the time in the insulation industry, you get really ramped up in the heat of the summer.
Yeah.
And you get really ramped up in the cold winter months, right? Typically, the areas where it's not, where the temperature's nice and pleasant, which is spring and fall, you're not normally that busy. It is for some reason, it is the opposite in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Our summers, we're busy enough. We stay about 2-3 weeks booked out at a time,
right?
Which is very manageable in the summer. This is, for the seventh year in a row, this is going into our busy season. Hmm. And September, October, November are typically the busiest months that we have. And as of this morning, when I check the schedule, we're starting to schedule jobs in the middle of November.
Wow.
We had to shut off all of our marketing. We had to turn everything off. We just have so much business coming in. And a lot of it are Duke customers. They're wanting to take advantage of the rebate. They don't know if it's going to be around next year, even though Sue, who was on the show, kind of winked at us and said, relax, I think this is going to be around for a little while.
Yeah.
That's still causing a lot of people to try to jump in there and get it done before the cold months hit. So, you know, it's a good problem to have. I feel for the homeowners that are saying, hey, I need to get this insulated next week. And we have to say, I'm sorry, we can't help.
Right.
So there's pros and cons to it. It's a problem, but it's a good problem.
And there's a narrow list of people who you can have as Duke, you know, what is it called? Favored?
Yeah, so, Trade Ally.
Trade Ally,
Energy, well, there's different levels to their program.
Yeah.
But the program that sends out referrals to companies is what is keeping us so busy right now.
Right.
There's just such a high volume of Duke customers that are reaching out to Duke saying, I need to take advantage of these rebates. Who do I call?
Right.
And they send them over to us. So we're trying to manage them as best as possible.
Yep.
Everybody's been real happy so far with the work that's been done, but we're booking out in advance.
And even if you're not going to make money doing this immediately, but you're going to save money after the install's done.
Oh, yeah. Every month. Moving forward.
And you might even break even depending on what we're having you do.
Well, I'll just use one specific line item as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Sealing up the HVAC ducts with mastic at the junction boxes in the plenums. Now, I know that sounds foreign to a lot of listeners that are out there.
No. When I was on vacation, I broke my plenum.
Plenum?
I did.
It took a while to repair?
It did, yeah. Okay, so, what is a plenum?
Plenum is, you know, you've got your air conditioner, which is what kicks on the outside of your house.
Sure.
Right? It's that loud thing.
Yeah.
Then you've got the mechanical unit, which is your air handling unit. That's all the large unit that's either in the crawl space, in the attic, in a closet.
Yeah.
That has all the ductwork connected to it, and that ductwork spiders out.
Yeah.
Well, where the ducts connect to that air handling unit, a lot of guys end up installing those with zip ties. It's like super common. I mean, 8 out of 10.
Really?
Of the systems that we look at, somebody put a big zip tie on there and just kind of zip tied it to the register. Well, you leak air like a sieve with that.
Sure.
It's like a straw with a hole in it.
Yep.
So Duke is telling their customers, look, you need to have these guys come out and paint on mastic on those connection points. So it when mastic seals, it's almost like a rubber.
Yeah.
Now it's air sealed to the junction box, so your straw doesn't have a hole in it anymore. The airflow is moving very quickly in volume. You're not losing any of that air in the attic.
Yeah.
Well, they're offering $350 rebates for that. We charge $450.
Yeah.
So, and my customers are telling me they're getting these rebates mailed to them within 2 to 3 weeks of submitting it. So Duke is apparently on point getting these things mailed out very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fraction.
And we call it a rebate, but it's not really a rebate. Mm. It's not like they're going to knock some money off your next fuel bill. That'd be nice, too.
Right.
But they're actually handing you, like, credit cards.
Yeah. So now, obviously, every customer is different. Okay. Some some attics are much larger.
Yeah.
But we did have a homeowner that had a standard 1,000-square-foot attic.
Yeah.
After the insulation was blown in and she got all of her rebates back, put in a zipper door cover, air seal the attic floor with crack and joint foam around the utility penetrations, and seal up all of her ducts with mastic.
Yeah.
That should have been a $2,000, $3,000 install.
Right.
But those rebates, I mean, she was out a fraction of the contract, and she's telling us that her bills have dropped by 40% since she had that done. So the money she did spend, she's going to pay herself back by the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's so, so worth it.
That's good. And some of the, like, blowing in insulation is really close. I mean, you can have insulation blown in for near the price of the rebate.
Depending on the size of the house. So they max out at a $700 rebate.
Okay.
So for a 1,000-square-foot house, that's a huge portion of what it's going to cost.
Yeah, good.
If you have a 3,000-square-foot ranch, it's going to be less.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it's all what you put into it.
That's right.
Your home should have been built in a better way, honestly. Right.
If all houses were built by builders who planned on living in them, we wouldn't have any problems.
Because they would have done more than code.
Yeah.
They would have. And this is not a program that simply brings you up to code, is it?
You're not offered rebates unless your insulation is at a current depth. So if your house is 2 years old, you're not going to be able to get a rebate to have us come in and blow in insulation because you've got 13 inches of insulation.
Okay.
Your house is 20 years old. That insulation's down to 7 inches.
Yeah.
That's when Duke is going to give you a rebate to do it. They're making your home more energy efficient. It's difficult to make a brand new home more energy efficient without doing major upgrades.
Okay. All right. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. We're going to talk. We were talking about Triangle Radiant Barrier, and then we quickly got sidetracked into Duke.
Right.
But that's going to happen every now and then. If you've got a question either about that program or about attic insulation or crawl space ventilation and encapsulation, go ahead and call us, 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783 on Making Your Home Great.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680. Call Brock at 919-860-9783. The Brock line is 919-860-9783. Call 24 hours a day, but he won't answer.
Probably not.
Except for the next, 40 minutes. So, Brock, you're doing a lot of attic work.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's comfortable for your guys.
It's starting to become a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
Thanks to, luckily the weather's cooling off a little bit, so it's a little bit more pleasant than it was in August.
Right.
June, July. So we're doing okay right now.
What kind of insulation are people putting in?
Well, if they're Duke customers, most of them are going with standard traditional fiberglass, so they can take advantage of getting a really heavy portion of the contract paid back to them by Duke.
Yeah.
Some of the customers are going and just upgrading to a spray foam product. Radiant Barrier has been really popular this season as well. That's probably our biggest seller. So it's really just addressing the homeowner's concerns. Again, when we come out there, it's like a doctor's visit. What kind of problems are you having? Are you having high utility bills in the summer, the winter? Are you struggling to keep the house cool in the summer, the winter, both? Yeah. Is it this room? Is it this room? So it's trying to get to the core of the problem they're trying to fix. Right. And most homeowners just say, look, the house is 20 years old. We're not that efficient. We get the report from Duke, and we're somewhere in the middle, or we're towards the higher range, so we're just looking to you know, be more efficient. And then some homeowners say, actually, efficiency isn't the problem. We cannot cool down the top floor. You know, our bills are not that high, but in the heat of the summer, our upstairs unit cannot keep up.
Right.
Well, there's different insulations that we would use to fix those problems.
Right.
So it's getting to the crux of the issue, finding out what their problem is, what kind of concerns they have,
right,
and then walking the homeowner through the options. These are the ones that can help you. These are the ones I would stay away from. They're not going to make the impact that you're hoping for.
Yeah. Now, I have never looked in my attic, basically because the only way to get up there, it's a high ceiling from the garage floor, and that would, you know, one fall and that's it. You're doing the show alone the next couple of weeks. But the point is, I was flummoxed, completely surprised that I probably don't have batted insulation above my house. I probably have cellulose blown in above the ceiling, above the downstairs ceiling.
It's on the attic floor,
basically.
Yeah,
on the attic floor.
Yeah, they have blown-in fiberglass, blown-in cellulose, blown-in attic cat, blown-in rock wool. There's a bunch of different types of blown-in. Blown-in is the most common because it's typically the cheapest cost.
Right.
The labor is less, and people ask, well, why is the labor less? Well, with blown-in, one guy goes up into the attic with a hose.
Yes.
And just picture the guy you see standing on the side of the road that's really not doing anything with the road crew.
Yeah.
That's the guy in the attic with the hose.
Oh,
he's just kind of standing there letting the insulation blow out of the hose. And, you know, he's feathering it. He's making sure it's not going everywhere. But that there's not a lot of labor there. Okay. You're pretty much standing and slowly moving around the attic, filling it in with the insulation.
It's got to be a couple of guys.
At the hopper and one guy in the attic running the hose.
Well, there you go.
You want batted insulation. Those come in large bundles that weigh too much to carry. You've got two guys have to roll a bundle out of the truck, cut the plastic off, and then carry them up there one at a time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of labor involved with transporting batted insulation, which is why blown-in is so common.
Yeah.
Batted insulation is a better insulation. It deteriorates at a slower rate. That's what makes it a higher quality insulation.
Yeah.
Blown-in, you might lose an inch of depth every other year. Mm-hmm. Batted insulation, you might lose an inch of depth every 5 to 8 years.
Okay.
So it deteriorates slower, but it's a higher cost to have it installed.
And again, I was surprised to find out that none of the insulations are actually forever. They do deteriorate.
Well, spray foam and radiant barrier do not.
Okay.
So spray foam and radiant barrier are considered lifetime insulations.
All right.
Any other insulation, batted, blown in, cellulose, attic cat, fiberglass, yes, those are deteriorating insulations. So they break down, they settle. They lose depth over time, which is why about every 10 to 15 years, you got to go back up there and add more insulation.
Okay. And so many people don't ever.
Well, a lot of people don't stay in their house 15, 20 years anymore. It used to be you buy the house and you're in it till it's paid off. And now there's a lot of buyers that buy the house, are in it for 6, 7 years. They increase the property value.
Yeah.
They get out of it and then use that profit as a down payment on the next property. So a lot of homeowners are not thinking 15, 20 years in the future.
Sure.
So they're okay with just putting in a little bit of blown-in insulation to get them the next 5, 6, 7 years till they sell the house, and then it's the next guy's problem.
Yeah. I've never heard of anybody doing that, selling their house and making money and then putting it down on the other. I did that. Yeah. I did that. It's the only financial move I ever took.
It's typically a pretty good financial move.
Well, it is.
Typically.
If you're buying at the right time and, right. you know, the interest rates are low. A lot of people are not going to move because of the interest rates. And maybe that'll improve. I don't know.
I read an article yesterday that right now there's a lot more houses for sale than there are people looking for houses. So
really?
I do believe. And look, you know, an article from who, right? You don't know where any of this information's coming from anymore. Yeah. So might be right, might be not. But I do know, talking with the realtors that I work with, they're saying, yeah, interest rates are high, and whereas a few years ago there were people that were putting down $50,000 in due diligence. You remember that?
Oh, yes.
Well, we were on the show. We had the realtors that were on the show at the time, and they were saying, look, these houses are selling an hour after they're put up, and people are putting down $50,000 down on due diligence. That's not happening anymore.
No.
It's just so the market has slowed. I think there's more sellers than there are buyers, so these houses are staying on the market a little longer. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see a shift. You never know.
Yeah, we've got people kitty-corner to our house where they're for sale, and it's been a long process.
Mm-hmm.
And they're priced, you know, more or less right. But it's just not going. So,
we had a customer last week that sold their house 3 days after they put it on the market.
Yeah.
Now, it was a good-looking house.
Yeah.
But they also, this was a fairly larger house. Okay. Yeah. Probably 4,800 square foot, two-story in a good neighborhood in Cary.
Yeah, I was going to say Cary or Apex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they put a lot of money into their crawl space with us. They brought us in, killed all the mold, fully encapsulated it, made it look beautiful like a work of art, and then put it on the market. And it's like the second person who came and saw the house. That's apparently what they told us. That's the first place they went. They opened up the crawl space door to look under the house to see what kind of shape it was in.
Yeah.
And we had just finished, so it looked like a work of art. And they said, all right. They wrote up a contract later on that afternoon. So.
Wow. And when you're finished in a crawl space, it really looks like a clean room in a science movie.
We have that. We have that option for our homeowners.
Yeah.
Some homeowners say, look, I don't need it to look like a work of art. I just want you to put down good plastic, seal the vents, and put in a dehumidifier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That passes code. No problem. We can help you with that.
Yep.
Some customers do the work. They pay us to sanitize. They want us to manually wipe off all the plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC with hospital grade disinfectant.
Wow.
And I mean sanitize the crawl space.
Yeah.
So we do have that option. We are available to do that as a company, but we don't push that on anyone. We just explain to them, this is what you need minimum, and here's 20 other options that you can add to this if you would like.
Right. I mean, those people probably, they're the people who wash their hands after they shake your hand. You know, they carry a little sanitize, you know, thing in their pocket. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Truthfully, a good amount of the doctors that we do work for,
they
pay to sanitize because they've done their research. They're like, well, I know that you breathe about half the air from the crawl space. So, the people that really do the research, they see the value in it.
All right. We're talking to Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. This radio program is called Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
And you just heard a commercial for J.E. Womble & Sons. We'll be out there in a few weeks. Going to go to Lillington. Can't get enough of Lillington. It's a terrific place.
It is.
It was, for me, coming from the Middlesex area to go to Lillington, it was the most country drive I've ever seen.
It is a very scenic drive.
Yeah, very scenic drive. Brock Emmons is here with Triangle Radiant Barrier, as he is every weekend. We are talking about his company and the crawl spaces.
Mm-hmm.
He had somebody who requested a disinfectant job on a crawl space.
Yeah, we were talking about in the break.
Yeah.
So we're working on trying to get them in contact with Mike for a testimonial. That way we can, you know, actually turn it into a commercial and play it on the show. But we had a homeowner that reached out to us, didn't give us a lot of backstory. They just said, look, we've done our research. We want to encapsulate the crawl space. We've got mold down there, so we want you to remediate it.
Yeah.
Seal the crawl space, put in a dehumidifier, blah, 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 blah. So no problem. We went out, took measurements, worked up a contract, got it sent over to them. That's exactly what they did. They paid us to come out. We killed all the mold in the crawl space. They paid us to sanitize, manually wipe off all the plumbing, the HVAC, the electrical, really clean it up down there as best as possible.
Yes.
So I go out about a week later to do the final inspection. That's typically what I do. I go out and do the final inspections, make sure that the job looks good and was done properly.
Yeah.
While I was out there, I crawled through the crawl space with him. Everything looked great. He was very happy. As I'm walking out to get in the truck, his spouse, she came out of the house, and he said, look, I need to tell you something. They're both standing next to me holding hands. And he said, my wife has had headaches for 20-plus years. Mm. She has them every day. They're very severe. We've always kind of thought that it was an issue with allergies or potentially mold-related, and we thought you should know. Since the crawl space has been sealed, since we got the dehumidifier installed, she has not had a headache. Now, that was weeks and weeks and weeks ago. So at the time, I was like, that's amazing. Now, that's an extreme case. A lot of people don't necessarily respond like that to mold or to allergies. But in her case, it was really affecting her. I talked with them again about a week and a half ago, and the homeowner just reached out to me to say, look, I just wanted to touch base with you again. Everything is going great. She has a minor headache every once in a while, but it's nothing close to what we've been dealing with for decades.
Yeah.
This worked. Thank you so much. You can use me as a testimonial. We're very, very happy. That makes me feel good. Now, we didn't know this was a problem they were having. We weren't even informed of this until the work had been completed. So they felt like they had done enough research that they felt like this was going to help them, and it did. It made a huge impact. So it also makes us realize that what we're doing is helping people, even though you might not be having the reactions that this homeowner was having. Mm-hmm. Maybe your sniffly nose that you get every year, these 3 months of the year, maybe we can correct that by eradicating the mold in the crawl space and cleaning up the airflow inside your house.
Sure.
So it made us feel really good. We were very happy that it made that impact.
And how much of the air in your house originates in the crawl space?
About half.
Why is that?
Well, so a good deal of homeowners that we have gas air handling units underneath the house. That's the big combustible unit that has all the ductwork that connects to it.
Yeah.
You have an exhaust outtake for those, and you have a fresh air intake. When you're running the heater, you're exhausting that. Well, that pipe runs outside. It runs through the crawl space. It goes through a vent, or it punches through the wall, and you're exhausting that outside. A lot of homeowners, their fresh air intake does not go outside. It cancels in the crawl space. So literally, when you're running your air conditioner, the air it's drawing into the system to make cool to then blow through the vents is originating in the crawl space.
That's insane.
Well, it's a little lazy. They make something called concentric kits, which is a pretty common way to run the intake outside.
Yeah.
Anytime we seal a crawl space, you have to do that per code.
Yeah.
Because if you have a gas leak, now you're pulling gaseous air into the unit.
That'd be bad.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
So I just think some HVAC companies just, this passes code. We should run it outside. That's the better way to do it. But this technically passes code, so we're just going to cancel it underneath the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. I want that.
It's like running the bathroom exhaust fan, but not running it through the attic. They just cancel it in the attic. Now you have a moisture problem in the attic. I see that all the time. Yeah. I just don't understand why. It's like, keep going. Just run it about 3 more feet, and you got fresh air.
The moisture fan in my old house from the upstairs bathroom, I could sit on my porch and hear water coming through. I thought there was a spring, right? It was, all it was doing was running through the soffit. It was, I swear that's the way it did. But anyway, we're on Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. You talked about radiant barrier, but I want people to understand what it is.
Okay.
It is, is it a rolled product?
Yes, depending on the type of radiant barrier. Most of them are rolled products. There's a few sheeted products, but the good majority of them are rolled. The type of stuff that we put up in the attic is a rolled material.
Yeah.
It's a silver material. That's why most people are like, oh, it's tinfoil. It's mylar. You know, mylar is also silver, but it's not a tinfoil, but it is a reflective grade insulation. So instead of it absorbing heat, like fiberglass, like attic cat, rock wool, all that stuff absorbs heat, kind of like a sponge.
Okay.
Radiant barrier just reflects it, like a mirror. That's why they use that material to put in the windshield of the car to reflect the heat from coming in through the glass. So when you ever park in a hot parking lot and they got a silver screen, that's radiant barrier.
Okay.
It just reflects the heat. So depending on how it's installed, most common is underneath the attic rafters, but it cools off the attic to very close to outside temperature, which, you know, it's a 94-degree day. Oh, it's 97 in the attic. That's still warm, but go up into that attic without radiant barrier, and it's 137. So we're talking about a 30-40 degree drop in temperature,
right?
Which is why it's a more common insulation in Nevada, Oklahoma, Florida, Texas.
Yeah,
it is a southern insulation. Anytime I go up north, Chicago, New York, Jersey, it's all spray foam.
That's why you're not there.
That's why I'm not there.
Yeah,
we do spray foam. I like spray foam, but depends on the application. Some applications I'm not a fan. Some I'm a huge fan.
The thing with radiant barrier, when you're done, is that sheeted material, is that flat? Is it nice and tight across the, I mean,
on the rafters?
Yeah, on the rafters. Can I then finish the wall, put drywall up?
So, well, I mean, you can. We're talking about two different things here. So if you're insulating the attic and you plan on keeping it attic, radiant barrier is great.
Okay.
If you're planning to convert your attic into living space, you want to run HVAC up there, you're putting in a bathroom, you want to put up drywall.
Yeah.
Now you're bound by coated insulations.
Okay.
And in North Carolina, they only allow R-rated insulation. So they will allow you to do fiberglass or spray foam. You can do radiant barrier in addition to the R-rated insulation that you're required to put in.
Yeah.
But again, that's why it's a learning process. When we come out to a homeowner, it's what are you trying to do here? What are we trying to solve?
Yeah.
That way I can guide them in the right direction. If you put up radiant barrier and then put up drywall, a code inspector is going to come out and say, I'm not passing this.
Yeah.
So don't get caught like that. Make sure you do it right the first go around.
And some things are not DIY. Because of that,
yeah,
right? Some things are not left up to homeowner because if an inspector's coming through, we need to be 110%.
We had a homeowner, unfortunately, 2 weeks ago that said, I'm converting my attic into living space.
Yeah.
I've already done with everything. Can you come out here and give me an estimate to insulate it? So that's a pretty common inspection for us.
Sure.
So we went out. When we went out, we looked at his framing. Now, he had cathedral vaulted framing, which is fine.
Yeah.
You want to heavily insulate the cathedral vault. But you also have to have a required depth for the insulation to pass code. And when we went through and looked, we said, look, have you already passed your framing? He goes, oh, no. I'm not pulling permits yet. I'm going to pull permits after I sign the contract for the insulation. And I had to explain to him, you're going to fail. The framing that you have in here right now, you don't have the acquired depth needed for the insulation in these cathedral vaults. You have to fur all of these out. And he said, well, I can't do that. It's going to drop the ceiling too low. I said, well, we can do this kind of insulation, but these are the drawbacks. And so I had to walk him through. Look, it's great that you were a DIY. It's great that you do it yourself. He said, I moved down here from New York. And I said, the codes are different, brother.
I
trust that you know what you're doing, and I trust absolutely that this is how it should be done there. But here, they want it done like this because of this. So he's actually having to reframe a whole section of the area that he was going to have completed just to pass code so he can now insulate it. So anyone who's doing these projects, if you're a DIY, that's fine. You still have to pull permits, because if you don't pull permits, all that work you're doing does not add value to the home. It's not living space.
Right.
You can put a huge 500-square-foot room above your garage and run air conditioning to it. Your house is still 1,500 square feet if you didn't pull permits. You pull permits, now it's 2,000 square feet, and the value of the home goes up. Some people don't want the value to go up. They plan on living there long term. They don't want the government or the state to know about that, so they don't pull permits. I just have to talk to the homeowners and try to find out what they're doing.
I don't need no government interference.
I hear that a lot.
I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't even pay taxes.
I don't hear the sovereign, but
I'm just an independent guy. I should be able to do. It's my house.
I tell people that. I say it's your home. I'm not going to force you to pull permits here. I'm just giving you enough information to know what you might be getting yourself into.
You're just not going to do the work without a permit, right?
Depends on the work.
Okay, all right.
If all we're doing is going in and putting fiberglass insulation or something like that, sure. Yeah. Okay, you want to roll the dice and maybe get in trouble with the city down the road, that's on you.
Yeah.
If it's something serious, like I need you to frame in this, no, we're not going to do anything structural without code inspectors involved. Still.
And if you've got a simple bonus room that's never been finished, in a lot of cases, you still have to fur out. If you're a DIY person, the roof rafters are not big enough. They're 6 inches.
Oh yeah,
and you need
9.
9.
Basically, it's 8.1 if you're doing an open cell spray foam.
Yeah.
8.5 if you're doing standard fiberglass.
Right.
And most attics are framed in with 2x8s. Which are, if you put a tape measure on it, it's 2x7.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Or 2x6s.
Yeah.
So to get the acquired depth needed, you need to fur them out to about 9 inches of depth. So you're adding 1.5 inches to 2x8s, and you're adding nearly 3.5 inches to 2x6s. So you're bringing the ceiling down a little bit lower.
Sure.
But again, before pulling the trigger and having these projects done, that's why it's important to get somebody that knows how to do this per code so they can guide you away from the stuff that's going to cost you money twice.
And the foam thing, the air juncture behind the insulation is important.
Baffles.
You got to bring that air up to the top.
Yeah, you got to have baffles behind the insulation and cathedral vaults so that way that it doesn't trap air flow in the channel.
Pulling a permit, that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. Well, you know, for guys like me.
It kind of protects you, though.
If you
pull a permit, it's like, oh, great, the city has to come out. Well, the city's going to make sure that contractor you hired.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to have to do it correct per code. So it's annoying, but it protects the homeowner.
One day we'll get into the contractor I hired for my work in my bonus room. This is Making Your Home Great. We're talking with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. The number is 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-BROCK. No, it's not. You'll get a different number. 919-860-9783 on WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
With Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, I think we've talked it out, man. I think we talked about the under the house. We talked above the house.
We did. We could cover the radon.
Talk to me about radon. Because a million years ago, I was a news guy, and I got a story about radon. I read it on the air, and they all laughed at me.
Right.
This colorless, odorless gas
that
could give you cancer or whatever. And now it's no laughing matter, but it's not reason to panic either.
Well, I think the reason because of that is there wasn't really a lot of electronic monitoring systems for radon.
Yeah.
Now, they test for radon when a home is sold. Okay, so when you sell the house, an inspector comes out and actually tests the soil for radon. So every customer I've spoken to in the last several years that's new to the home, I'll always ask, oh, yeah, well, they had a radon test. When we came out, radon's fine. Well, here's what we've learned. If you test for radon in July, it's going to be fine. Even if you have a high radon problem, it's going to be fine in July because it's more of a concern, more of an issue in the colder months.
Okay.
So what time of year you test was a huge variable.
Hmm.
Well, not a lot of people coming out doing tests in December, January, and February. The majority of them, when people are buying and selling homes, is spring and fall.
Okay.
So for years, these tests were coming back negative basically because of the time of year that they were testing the soil. Now, a few years ago, they started coming out with electronic monitoring systems. You don't put the electronic monitoring system in the crawl space. You put it in the living space because it's testing how much radon is in the air that you're breathing, okay?
Yeah.
There are homes that radon can be as high as 10% in the crawl, but in the living space, it's less than 1.3.
Right.
So it's not causing you a problem. You're not living in the crawl space.
Right.
So when these sensors started coming out and people started purchasing them and putting them in their homes, that's when you started seeing a dramatic tick up in customers that are reaching out in the winter months when it's getting cold saying, hey, we've been sitting at less than 2% all year and it just spiked to 11. Okay, you've got a radon issue under the house, which tells me it's probably above 20 in the crawl space. Now we need to talk about coming out and putting in a radon mitigation system. It's not every house.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of our customers are putting in radon sensors. We're running into radon problems maybe 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15.
Yeah.
So it's not every home, but you should have an electronic monitoring system. If I ask you, do you have a radon issue? No. How do you know that? Oh, they tested it in June when we bought the house 12 years ago.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
And to backtrack, what is radon? Is it radiation? I mean, it starts with RAD. Is it radical? You know, something? I don't know.
Radon, well, you had kind of mentioned it early in the show, this colorless, smokeless gas that is emitted from the soil. That, if you read into radon, prolonged exposure to breathing in radon has been proven to cause several different types of cancers.
Okay.
So, is it radioactive? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I know how to install a radon mitigation system to help handle the radon problem. But when it comes to the over long-term effects, or it's only what I've read.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
As you know, I'm looking to invent a universal panel for my wall that will tell me the relative humidity in the crawl space, temperature in the attic. My own blood sugar, you know, the whole thing.
I think we're getting close to something like that.
Somebody's got a radar detector, you know, see if the police are checking people
infrared.
In the neighborhood. Right. Infrared. I want to know whether there's been an explosion of gases on the sun that's affecting us now. I want to know whether my high frequency radio will work, you know, all this stuff.
We're pretty close to that. I've seen a lot of these smart homes. They've got these panels that are the size of a television built into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, they've got their HVAC hooked up to it. They've got their pool equipment hooked up to it. They've got all the lights and the smoke alarm sensors and security systems. So I think we're closer than you think.
Yeah, okay. Somebody else is on it.
A lot of these smart homes are going up, and they are not cheap. I've been in a few of these smart homes. They're literally built with technology in mind, which is all over my head. That's not my neck of the woods, but it is impressive to see the stuff that they're doing in some of these higher-end homes.
It's funny because there was the high-tech people think they can predict right? Oh, everybody's going to want a big internet cable into every room. Right. So let's wire them now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that in your house?
Not in mine. I have one that runs to an area downstairs. But yes, some of these other houses I'm going into, there's HDMI plugins in the wall.
Yeah, they're unused because everybody went Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason, right? We think we know what the technology should be, but it's not.
It changes overnight.
All right. So we haven't talked about what haven't we talked about? About a minute.
So what else do we have coming up this month other than I know we're going to do the Atlantic
Billiards and Spas. I'm wearing a swimming suit and bringing my rubber ducky.
I love it.
And you're going to bring your pool cue. Actually, they've got them for sale. They'll let you try them
out. I'm excited to see what they have in stock.
I actually bought my pool cue at there. I did.
Did you?
And this is a
return customer.
Technically, my daughter bought it, but we had already bought pool cues from there. It's going to be a fun remote. That's coming up next weekend on Making Your Home Great. We're going to go to Lillington to J.E. Womble and Sons later, you know, some other date. We look forward to it all on Making Your Home Great. Have a great week.